Nothing ever wakes you up from a nightmare, have you noticed? If you're dreaming of eating strawberries, or cutting a ceremonial ribbon, or dining with Julia Roberts, you can depend on the alarm or the telephone or a hand on your shoulder to bust in before the payoff. But if your teeth are falling out, or a grizzly is charging you, you're in for the duration. For a week, I'd been chasing a car, with a car chasing me. And then someone miscued and we all smashed up with me in the middle. I heard rubber howl and metal scream and the squishy crunch of bones breaking, and when I woke up, I tasted blood. The latest collision was the same as all the rest. I came out of it with my leg hurting, a low-grade ache that would turn into hours of teeth-grinding agony if I didn't catch it early. I took 2 Vicodin, chewing them to streamline their way into my circulatory system. The leg always lets me know when a solstice is coming. If you'd rather get that from a calendar, duck the next time someone shoots at you. There was no sleep until the pills kicked in, and then only the same nightmare. I went into the kitchen, but there wasn't enough coffee left in the can to open one eye. It was a little short of 4 a.m., I pulled on a sweatshirt, mildewing jeans from the hamper, and a pair of sneakers, fired up the 4-barrel and drove between canals of dead leaves, crossing intersections where the signals blinked yellow. Away out in space, the aircraft warning light on top of the Penobscot building pulsed on and off, as distant as the Big Dipper. On one corner, a man dressed exactly as I was sat on the curb among his duffels and tattered trash bags, eating something from a greasy paper cupped in both hands. He appeared to own more things than I did. These are the thoughts you think at that hour. They can't be healthy. A few corners down from there, a Walgreens sat in a fluorescent blaze, with a handful of cars drifted up against the building. I slid in beside a handicap space, passed through the sliding door, and heard my first Christmas carol of the year on the PA. It was late October, and the center aisles were crowded with Halloween costumes and talking skulls. An orange electric cord snaked between displays of candied peanuts and Trojans, at the end of which a man in blue coveralls was pushing a floor buffer as slowly as if he were sifting for landmines. I walked around him and turned the corner toward the pantry section. The midnight blue uniform of a Detroit patrol officer caught my eye by the tail. He was standing near the pharmacy counter with his back to the rest of the room, staring up at the convex mirror mounted in the corner near the ceiling. The attenuated reflections of the scattered customers slid across the surface, but he didn't appear to be interested in the ones that were moving. He was focused on a skinny figure with his hands buried in the pockets of a hooded gray sweatshirt, standing behind a woman being waited on at the counter near the door. The cop was very big, very black, and I'd had business with him in the past, mostly of the friendly kind. His name was Sergeant Mansonard, but he'd been a detective lieutenant when we'd first met, which was too close to get to the chief when the administration changed. Now he pushed a cruiser through some of the city's worst neighborhoods, frequently without a partner because the mayor had had to cough up a $9 million settlement for unlawfully terminating a number of Mansonard's fellow officers for taking their oath too literally, and that had led to layoffs.